Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, listening from around the world, or simply in Michigan and New York, maybe the UK. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the August 2nd, 2019 edition. I am Michael Amadei, one of your hosts. Sitting across from me is your co-host and the man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. How are you, sir? How's it going?
I'm getting better. I'm getting better by the minute.
So you know, a lot of technical stuff. Actually, the whole reason this thing pulled up, and I think the fact we're even on here right now, was because JT said, screw it, and just backed everything out and restarted it. And
yeah.
So I think JT's had it with the whole technology thing starting the show, but he's fighting through it. We love him for it. And, you know, the way we look at it, we're going to look at it on the bright side. Yeah, we might have started late tonight, but you know what? We started 23 minutes earlier than we did last week.
Amen.
So so here we go. So appreciate that, guys. You can hear JT this week. We're back in our normal studio. We have power.
Yes.
Which is great. I was kind of on my way out to the car. I was tentatively like checking my phone going,
Tempting fate is what you're doing. When am I going to get a call that there's no power again? But then again,
we'd be a lot more prepared.
We would.
Than we would have been last week.
I just disconnect certain things.
Because I've now set up a studio. We have a few more pieces of equipment to get before it's optimal. But I set up a whole second studio at my place. So from here on out, if JT needs to come over, it is not the big pull-down job. It's not
going to be awesome.
You know, and I think that's really cool. In fact, you know what? While we're talking about this, we should get a hard drive with all the stuff you need. And we'll just put it on there, and a portable hard drive. We'll have it all ready to go.
Sure.
Just designated as the only thing, though.
Sure.
Oh, you have one already?
Yeah, I mean, I can.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. I always thought that was a whiskey flask. Okay.
Well, I like to stir it. No, I'm just kidding.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
So, this is the beginning of a new month. Which
means
we've got some cool new things going on. But JT, first of all, before we say that,
do
you want to tell everybody where we were last night?
We
were at a high-end literary event.
Yes, we were. We were in Red Rocks.
That's right.
Amphitheater.
Yeah.
About halfway up and about halfway in.
My favorite place to be.
Yes. Listening and enjoying Weird Al Yankovic.
An amazingly good show.
With the Colorado Symphony Orchestra.
Right. It's even better. And the thing is, you know, I didn't watch anything with him live because I wasn't sure how good he was going to be. I figured he was going to be great. But I just didn't, you know. And, man, when I suddenly saw it, I realized his whole game, do songs people know, do basically a stand-up comedy routine in the lyrics, talking about cultural subjects everybody in that audience resonates with.
Yes.
Brilliantly done, and they killed it.
Yeah,
and
they did.
I left very impressed. That's where we were last night. So it was a high functioning, cool event.
A very, very all ages crowd. Absolutely. And show for
people,
sure.
People showing up wearing tinfoil hats and everything is amazing.
Yep, it's awesome.
I also saw, we also saw a guy wearing a Jurassic Park pullover with no sleeves and a hood.
Yes.
And a kilt.
Yes.
And a, and like an Indiana Jones. It was like a
kind
fedora.
Kind of like a weird fedora.
Well, it was a fedora, but it was kind of the wider brim one. Yeah. That's kind of the Indiana Jones version of it. And that was a good look.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible mustaches.
Incredible mustaches. There was a guy with a 3D mustache. It was incredible. He's walking in. You're like, oh, okay, that looks like a slightly more interesting, slightly more interesting mustache. And then he turns it aside and you see that there's a whole other dimension. And JT and I both went, whoa!
It was incredible. Just incredible.
Anyway, okay. So, yes, Dennis, I saw it in the chat room here. So since this is the beginning of the new month, that means we have a few orders of business we're going to take care of this evening.
Yes.
We're going to take care of the first three clues of this month's Poet of the Month. Oh, yeah. We missed that music last week. And we're also going to have our new poetic form of the month. Yep. And we're going to have After Dark after the show. Uh-huh. All right. So before we get into any of that, though, let me lay down the ground rules just so we always make a practice of this. Here we go. Rule number one, no hate speech. We haven't done that on the show. We never will. Rule number two, please skew PG-13. We are not in the business of censoring, but we do want to make sure this is a friendly place for families, kids to be able to come and listen as well. If you do have something that's a little bit over there, over the top, but it is artistic, we might not jump in. However, if it gets a little gratuitous, we do reserve the right to jump in and suggest you read it during the After Dark segment, which we'll be having tonight and also on the first Friday of every month that we have a show, obviously. We don't do it when we don't have a show. That'd be strange. Rule number three.
Sorry, that just tickled me. My apologies.
Fair enough. There you go. At least someone's like, I always laugh at your jokes. Oh, you're the one person. Rule number three. Please be prepared with your poem when we come on the line. It's just respectful to the other people who are waiting to come on. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Once again, it's just a respect thing. And then rule number five, this is for JT and myself. We get so caught up in everything here, it is hard for us to be able to, you know, kind of remember everything that's said. So if you have a comment, you have a suggestion, please send it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or at worldpoetryopenmic.net in the contact form. Those are both great ways. And we'll talk about it in our meetings. And a lot of times we actually do implement those rules. In fact, some of these rules I just read came from one of those emails.
Yes.
Right? So this is really important. Okay. So we've got those lined up here. What we need is we're going to do a segment of five callers. We're going to do a second segment of five callers. At that point, we will look at it and figure out, do we need to do another segment after that? Generally, it's just two. After we've done that, we'll go to a kind of a renewed thing called the return engagement. You can call back in, share another piece if you'd like to. Or you know, if you're listening and you just came on late and you want to read for the first time, you can do it there. Then we'll end the show proper, and we'll go and we'll do a After Dark segment, kind of the return engagement style, but we'll have a very clear ending point for the main show in case you don't want to be there for the After Dark. Okay. And not a lot of people do. Sometimes when the lights go off and the kilts go flying up, people don't want to be in that room, and I don't blame them for that.
Neither do I.
In fact, I kind of turn around and walk out too by then.
It's kind of weird.
And now we get stuck here late on Friday nights listening to a run. Seemed like a good idea at the time.
It sure did.
All right. So let's do this. We need five unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here in the first segment. We've got a great lineup here. I'm actually really excited to see this. We got a little bit of a small crowd. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because I want to kind of, JT, you think I should tell them about what we've been working on? I mean, we've kind of mentioned this before, but it kind of just didn't go anywhere. And now we finally kind of hit something.
Do you want something to
Do you have a theme you can play
sure,
for it?
Sure.
Okay, everybody, we have an announcement. Okay, so actually, I appreciate that song, by the way. That's good. So JT and I, as you know, we talked about doing something, a publication version of this show, not a book, not an anthology,
yeah.
Even though we'll keep the anthology going and that'll still go
absolutely
to the same place. We've talked about expanding this out and we were working towards it and it started seeming like, man, it's just going to be the same as everybody else's publications. And we just didn't want to do it at that point because it just felt like we were just throwing another thing on the heap that didn't need to be there. Well, we've spent time. We haven't talked about it, but we've finally hit a way that we're able to do it, and we're able to do it in a way that we think will be interesting, will add something to the medium, and will be really interesting to a lot of people. So we are officially, and we'll be making a bigger deal about this on the page and everything like that, but I wanted to tell you guys first, we're officially announcing that in January 2020, the first edition of World Poetry Magazine will come out. It'll be a literary journal. There'll be poetry. There'll be some shorter prose. There'll be a lot of articles about being a writer, being a poet. We'll have interviews with poets as well as publishers and things like that. There'll be accompanying kind of podcasts, things like that, that are going on. But we've been building this. It'll be free for you guys. You'll be able to read it, send it to anybody you want. No big deal. Here's how we're doing the submission process for this. We're going to be setting something up on Submittable. That's where people can submit most of their stuff. However, it is mostly because we've looked at the behavioral patterns of people when they say, it costs nothing to send things in. People who don't know us just will start spamming us with stuff, and a lot of times
yep.
It's a lot of work. So what we've actually had a lot of publishers and people we've recommend that we ask for, you know, a small amount of money for a submission. That doesn't feel right for the listeners of the show, though. So what we are going to do is, and I'll email and talk with you guys individually, but we're going to set up a separate email account that is just for people who listen to the show, who can send us the poetry there, and then there's no submission charge for that. New people who don't know us, who are finding us on Submittable, we're going to charge them like $5. And they can submit as many poems as they want. And it just goes to help support, you know, stuff. And we'll be selling ad space in that magazine. So there's no need to do that if you're listening to the show. So there's going to be no money for you guys. We know who you are. You know who we are. And we know that you'll bring amazing stuff should you want to do it. We would love to invite you to contribute. But it will be coming out. We'll be doing it to start out with every quarter. There will be a magazine as opposed to one every month. We're just not quite at that pitch yet. But if we do a quarter, we know we have some time to lay it out and get everything together.
Right.
So we'll be making a bigger announcement of this. We'll keep kind of talking about it. But everyone who's on now, you're the first to hear. And we wanted to share it with you first. So I think this is going to be really fun. It'll be a new kind of expansion about what we're doing. But it's also going to be, I think, adding a lot more value to what we do here. It will be online, George. It will be digital, and we could eventually go to print, but if we keep it digital, that way there's no need to buy anything. We can always find a print way to do it. If we need to do a print, we can always run some print stuff, but basically we have it online, so it's free to the poets, it's free to the writers, it's free to anybody you want to send it to, and it's going to look amazing. That's the other thing. The work's got to be good, quality's going to be good, and it's going to look great. And so those are some things that we're really focused on. All right. So any questions you guys have, of course, send me a message, send us an email, whatever. We're happy to answer. But it's all set. So we're really excited to be able to help get your work out even more so with this stuff. But beyond all that, let's head now to our first caller. Let's go now to Michigan and visit with Dennis. Good evening, Dennis.
Hello. That's good. That's wonderful news. The magazine.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
We've been working on it a while, but we wanted to make it special, and I finally made the connections and to actually know all the resources we have available to us to make it great. And now I see that, and now we really can move forward. We've been working on this for a while now.
Oh yeah, that sounds wonderful, and I think you'll get a lot of good participation in that.
I hope so.
And you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope so. Well, I think it'll be great, and I'm really looking forward to help getting your work out there even more too, Dennis. I mean, this is the stuff. We definitely believe you. You are one of the people who really deserves that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't deserve it any more than anybody else. But I appreciate your kind words.
All right. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. So,
Like Zach said, we're all number one. It's not just one person. Number one.
That's true.
I like that.
Well, and I guess that's how we see it too, right? We think the people who listen to the show, and there's a lot of people who come back, you know, week after week after week, and it really means a lot. And you're just as much a big piece of this community as anybody else. So that's why we see it as this is here to help you guys as well. You know.
Yeah. What's great about that is it's a level playing field here.
Yeah.
We all have a voice, and we have something to share, and nobody gets discounted. We're all equal here, and we appreciate that.
You know what? I think you're right on the money. We love that too. So, all of that, all those talks of equality. JT's going, what is this? The French Revolution? Okay, so. Actually, I'm going to get you a T-shirt that says that, JT. I don't know why that would be funny, but it really would be.
That'll be great.
All right. So, Dennis, what do you have for us?
Well, with your selections of the Poet of the Month, it made me stop to think, you know, there are a lot of famous writers that aren't known for their poetry, but they have written poetry. So I did a little research on my own, and I came up with some poetry by Mark Twain. We don't think of him as a poet, but he definitely wrote poetry. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is a poem of his that he wrote on board of the passenger ship America. Mark Twain composed this poem, and it has been recovered from his private journal. And that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. The title is Genius. Genius is like gold and precious stones, is chiefly prized because of its rarity. Geniuses are people who dash off weird, wild, incomprehensible poems with astonishing facility and get booming drunk and sleep in the gutter. Genius elevates its possessor to ineffable spheres far above the vulgar world and fills his soul with regal contempt for the gross and the sordid things of earth. It is probably on account of this that people who have genius do not pay their board as a general thing. Geniuses are very singular. If you see a young man who has frowsy hair and distraught look and affects his eccentricity in dress, you may set him down for a genius. If he sings about the degeneracy of a world which courts vulgar opulence and neglects brains, he is undoubtedly a genius. If he is too proud to accept assistance and spurns it with a lordly air at the same time that he knows he can't make a living to save his life, he is most certainly a genius. If he hangs on and sticks to poetry, notwithstanding sawing wood comes handier to him, he is a true genius. If he throws away every opportunity in life and crushes the affection and patience of his friends, and then protests in sickly rhymes of his hard lot, and finally persists, in spite of the sound advice of persons who have got sense, but not any genius, persisting going up some infamous back alley, dying in rags and dirt. He is beyond all question a genius. Above all, to deftly throw the incoherent ravings of insanity into verse and then rush off and get booming drunk is the surest of all the different signs of genius. End of poem. A poem by Mark Twain, otherwise known as Samuel Langhorne Clemens.
Man. So that's, Twain really, I just loved that because <'cause> Twain really takes you in a hilarious direction. I mean, it reminded me of, I can't even remember, is it a Monty Python thing or something where someone says something ridiculous and the other people start going, he's a genius, you know?
I think it is.
That's what it reminds me of, you know? So funny.
He was a contemporary of Poe.
He sure was, yeah.
I'm thinking somewhere that weighed on his mind when he wrote that.
It had to be, don't you think? I mean, it just had to be. Oh, man. That was great. Thank you for kicking off with that. That's a wonderful start for the night.
Well, thank you very much, and I enjoyed sharing it. And I know there's more to come, so I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic and say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. All right, and that was Dennis kicking it off here for us in Michigan. Yes, George, looking in the chat room, Twain was obviously a genius also. I will say, not that I'm putting them on the same pedestal, I had no level of appreciation compared to what I do now for Weird Al's writing. I'm not saying Twain and Weird Al are the same level.
I know.
But sitting there in a gigantic audience,
yeah,
listening to them hang on every word, listening how everything landed perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And the levels of sarcasm.
Yes.
I had no idea how sarcastic. And it doesn't come across until it's live for some reason for me. But when he's live, you're sitting there like, oh, this is funny.
Oh, yeah.
This is really going deep. So it's the same sort of like the witty humor. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're going to head to a place we like to call Kentucky to visit with Philip. Hey, Philip.
Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you, sir?
Oh, better now that you've answered.
Well,
I'll expect that room service pretty soon. It's, you know,
there's, yes,
going on.
It's going on 4 months now. Come on, where's the cheeseburger I ordered?
Yeah, right. How are you guys?
JT, how are you, man?
I'm getting better and better. So as the night goes on, I'm getting better. Things are falling right back into place as to where they're supposed to.
Oh, man. It's been a stressful few weeks for him, you know? But, I don't know.
I'm sorry. I haven't been, like, privy. I've been busy doing other things. Go ahead.
No problem. We had, 2 weeks ago, the power in both of our places went out just prior to showtime.
Ouch.
So we had no show. Last week, right before showtime, the power went off here. So JT had to pack up the entire studio in the total darkness, bring it over to my place. We did the show there. But that took us till 8:30 to get everything up and running. And every little conceivable thing that could go wrong was going wrong.
Yep.
And then today, computer starts updating at, 8:25 or something like that, or no, 7:25, something like that, our time.
Yeah.
And by the time it was almost eight o'clock, it still hadn't finished. So we were like, we ended up having to start late again because of that junk. So JT's been stressing. I'm sitting over here going, it's fine, man. It's fine. No one knows why we're here. We're just on a rock, man.
And then here I am like a schmuck. I show up just in time to hear about, hey, is there a publishing opportunity? You guys are starting a magazine?
Hell yeah, we are, man. And
I miss all the heartache.
Oh, and no. That's, hey, you know what? That stuff makes us stronger, Philip. When those shows happen and those things, every single time it's happened, we've actually started thinking about solutions.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about what we're doing.
Yeah, that's great. You guys are so dedicated, and we are some lucky people, me especially, to have you guys on our side. And you're making it hard to be a starving artist. You know, we get quite a bit of attention, so it's like, gosh, I have to think of a new way to, you know, dupe people. Or
well, you know, I found one thing I found that's really good is just take any cash you make and just turn on a fan, but face it towards the window and just let it blow out of the window. That's the artist method I'm using. That's the artistic method of finance, metaphorically, of course.
Yes, of course. You guys are doing a wonderful job. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, both of you. And I will get to it. I know there are a lot of hungry artists out there ready to call in, and they're gnawing at the bit to get here. So I'll get to it and get out of the way. This is a recent piece I've put on my Facebook page. It seemed to get a little bit of attention, which was kind of nice, and it makes me smile when I get some of that. The title, Cold Macaroni Left on the Stove. And here we go. Well past moon-dull witching hours into Sabbath, the morn soon to flower. My wobbly, monstrous self fermented 40 hours. Another binge closes, forgotten before it is done. Mania lives in the head, where fire burns indiscriminately. Everything is combustible, set at temperatures unrepentant and thistle. My pragmatic wife divorced me with the gusto in which I'd proposed. Both electives passionate, arguably romantic, I tell myself. Drunk enough to recite from Richard III, convinced of every compelling lie until sobriety resumes. Whatever it is you want most, assuredly traded for a horse, mule, or untamable stallion, scratch out a first line to an apology she'll never read as dawn pours illumined blue. Blooms truculent yellow, crystalline brilliance, through our tatty curtains, hung above a wrecked stage. Barely legible penmanship suggests, I miss her more than I miss me, even if it isn't true. My parade of phrases, embroidered by the humanities, and an imbalanced psyche I cannot rescind. And there it is, fellas.
Very, very cool.
I enjoyed
thank you, sir.
Yeah, really enjoyed thank that.
You. I appreciate that. And I really appreciate everything you guys do. You're both sweethearts, and, you know, you're always tops in my books forever, even if I don't show up. And I do miss you guys. I think of you often. I really do. And thank you so much for the encouragement, and on to the next poet.
Thank you, sir. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Cheers.
All right, buddy. Bye. And that was Philip Gaughan from Kentucky in the number two spot here in our first segment. We've had some really strong stuff so far.
Yeah.
You know who I think a good person to follow? We've got three people that are going to be able to follow this just fine. They're going to bring their own things to it. Let's go now to Zach in upstate New York. Hey, Zach, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going better than it was last week, I'll tell you that.
Hey, well, you did a great job with my poem. What did you guys think about it?
Well, I enjoyed it. I actually really did like it. You know, it was kind of funny because JT was just trying to keep everything from melting down. In fact, the thing we found out after the fact, right, I didn't know this, another thing I didn't mention, that whole show last week, including both computers, was tethered through the data on his cell phone. Basically, JT was just throwing out all the stops last week is what was going on. Anyway. I definitely enjoyed it. You know, he had his head buried in tech stuff the whole time. So, but yeah, I thought it was really solid. And we have something, I won't give it away yet, but we have something that you have written that is going to be making a debut next week as well during Studio X.
Awesome.
That's right. So, for some reason, when I was talking to you guys, I I wanted to call you guys the Page Masters. Do you remember that movie?
The Page Master, yeah. Wasn't that Macaulay Culkin? And was
Macaulay Culkin, the one of the only movies where he wasn't a jerk, where he wasn't a narcissist. And, you know, I think that's the idea of the Page Master. We're all Christopher Lloyd. We all make, books come to life. And, you know, we all make these journeys and everything come to life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, I haven't seen that movie in so long, but I remember loving that thing.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time, but tonight's poem is actually tomorrow is my best friend's baby shower, and you know, she was the first person that. That I ever actually shared my poems with, and she's the one who actually inspired, told me to keep writing. So, yeah, this poem, you know, being how she's going to be a parent, this poem is about parenthood, and it's called Your Parents Love You. And so, and then take it away. Soon it'll be time for you to take the stage. You'll be born, and your parents' life will never be the same. Someday soon, you'll start to grow and grow and grow. And even though they'll be excited, sometimes you might hear them say they wish time would slow. There'll be many questions you want answers to. Are we there yet? Why is the sky blue? Sometimes they may not be able to tell you. Someday, you'll want to rebel. Do things they tell you not to just to make them scream and yell. Someday, you'll tell them you hate them after having a fight. The next day, you'll tell them you love them by the time they tuck you in at night. But it's important you know, no matter what they say, no matter what you do, your parents will always love you. End of poem.
Very nice piece. Have you read that to her yet?
Oh yeah, yeah. I when she announced that she was pregnant, I decided to share that poem with her. And like, you know, just understanding that, you know, the kid, her baby will change her life, you know, completely. And you know, just remind her that she'll always love her kid. Doesn't matter what they say. You know what she says,
right?
You know, it's mainly for the kid, you know,
right
say,
yeah, after they can speak English,
you know,
yeah,
whatever you do, your parents are always gonna love you.
That's true, you know. And I think once the baby learns how to speak English and stops speaking baby like an irresponsible, no, I'm kidding. I think that'll be really cool. That'll be cool.
Well, it's funny because she was thinking of baby names, and she's having a girl, and she said, you know, I don't want to have my, if I can't scream it in anger, I don't want it to be my kid's name. And so I was actually looking up Latin. I was looking up the Latin word for queen and the Latin word for heart, and it's actually Regina Cora. So if you named your daughter Regina Cora, her name would literally mean the Queen of Hearts. And,
oh, that's cool. Yeah.
If it was Regina Luna, then it'd be the Queen of the Moon. So
very
Regina
nice.
Is actually Latin for queen, and Rex is Latin for king.
Right. That's true.
So the
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
So they were the king of the dinosaurs, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Strange enough, there's not a Tyrannosaurus Regina, though.
Well, you know, who knows if there were any female T-Rexes.
You know what? There probably weren't. And this suddenly just opens up a whole new realm of science. How'd they get here?
It's
JT,
so
how's it? Tide goes in, tide
so
goes out.
Hurts.
Never a miscommunication. How does it explain that? You can't explain that.
So
I'm just driving JT crazy right now.
No, maybe it's like fish. Maybe they're asexual. They can switch sexes.
You know what?
Depending.
There you go, JT. There's your answer. He's just looking at me right now.
You didn't need the media.
These are, you know, I drag him into conversations like this.
Yes.
Literally all of the time. And not just on the show. I mean, I really pull him into these things with random people all the time because I think it's hilarious.
It is.
So that's, anyway, perfect. Thank you for contributing to this, Zach. I appreciate that. I appreciate that as well. But actually, thank you for the piece. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing it with us. And I think the child of your best friend will really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I got her car seat today. I figured, what's the, you know, she's 25. I mean, what's the best thing that, you know, they wouldn't have to worry about that they weren't on the registry? And the most important thing would probably be a car seat. So. Yeah.
There you go. That's really cool of you. Very cool. That's really cool. That's a good gift.
All right. I will see you guys at the return engagement.
Sounds great.
See you then.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Zach Kahn from New York. You know, I gotta say something. I went and registered at Babies R Us, but I registered for things that I needed. Not a single person has bought anything at Babies R Us for me. Not a single person.
Well, there's a couple of problems now.
What's that?
Babies R Us is no more in the States.
That could be probably why.
Because that's part of Toys R Us, which most of them are now in Canada only.
But they're reopening.
Right, right. They're going ahead of the game.
They're changing their image.
The other thing is sizes may not fit you, Michael.
That is not true. I've seen some big babies. All right. 225-pound babies.
Yikes.
Boom. All right, let's go to Cleveland, Ohio.
All right. 225-pound.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
How are you?
I could be better, but I'm here.
We're happy you're here.
Yes, and I am, too. I'm listening to all the great poetry, and I'm really excited about the magazine. But this is a special poem for me that I'm going to do for you all tonight. And the name of the poem is called Raphael. It's a ballad. And it's a poem for my life on South Beach, the people I met there and the bonds we made. And so I'm going to read this particular piece called Raphael, a ballad. Go ahead. Hello? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Raphael, a ballad. The name rolled off of his tongue so gaily. He seemed to be fulfilled by just saying, Raphael. Matthew's wheels were spinning. This was the one who would save him from the wild and crazy life on South Beach as a waiter. Blonde, blue-eyed, slim, statuesque man from New York found the dark and tan, gorgeous Greek, a fantasy and a treasure that had now become his reality. Every thought of Raphael would delight his eyes with pleasure. He'd walk on his tiptoes almost as a ballerina when he spoke of Raphael. Raphael, rich, handsome, and happy, Matt waited each day joyfully to jump into Raphael's sports car, and parade in front of coconuts and mangoes. As Raphael zoomed up, Matt was with wings. He took off and was about to hover when the signal was, do not come any closer. Raphael waved him off. He soon saw why, and much to Matt's surprise, he watched the undercover unload the Porsche with what they had discovered. And I, as Matt's surrogate mother, witnessed Matt's moonlit eyes wane. I shared in his pain, thinking New Yorkers should know better. Still, I held him as he cried. He survived to tell the tale. But off in the distance, Matthew did stare as one last time he spoke the name Raphael. In peace.
It was a beautiful piece. It really was, Mama. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We always love having you on. We really do.
I have so many experiences in life. Like, it just helps me to remember some of the people that meant so much to me. He was actually the first person to ever let me really realize, because there's so much Christian values and this perspective and that perspective, that this is, nobody comes here and chooses to be gay. He was really gay, and that man let me know that he was a person with feelings. He didn't choose this. He was rich. He was from New York. He could have done anything he wanted to do. And by the way, people get punished for being something that they can't help. He's the one that made me realize that this is just another part of the dimension. There's gays, there's straight, there's female, and there's male. I mean, and there's female. And there's, you know, some people are bi, I guess, but, you know, when you get all these different religious concepts and people are telling you this and trying to make you hate somebody for what they don't even know the purpose, because they're not. So it just makes everything so convoluted and complicated.
It does,
in life.
Yeah.
That really, you really know is not faking, it's not just trying to be something. They love with all their heart. And I knew that he really loved me. And since then, I just realized now most of my gay friends, they do like me as a person. They really do like me as a person. Something about my character. And I remember he was the only person I ever remember that I said, I got to go over to a real bad part of town, Matthew. I said, and I can't take you with me. And he said, I'll go with you. He said, I'll go with you anyway. I said, well, come on then. If you want to go with me, I'll tell him you're my son. He said, Mom, you're going to get my little white ass killed. Tell him I'm your son. And you got blue eyes and blonde hair, and I'm sitting up there, you know, 2 shades darker than medium coffee. So we had a great time there, and I love him. I don't know where he is. I'm not going to call his whole name out, but I hope one day that he does hear this and know how much I love him.
Oh, that's meaningful, isn't it? You know, that's something. And, yeah, remembering people we've known that mean something to us and all that, I mean, that's so valuable. I think a lot of people don't spend the time on it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because like how many, you know, everybody, I don't know if everybody's heard about Overtown, but it was not, it was a long way from South Beach. It wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have a lot of faith and love in that person to be following somebody.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So well, anyway, thanks for letting me know about my friend Matthew, you know. His love for Raphael.
You got it. You got it.
I'm not in the chat room, so I can see it, but I can't write it because, again, Twitch didn't keep my account. I can't remember the password, so I'm just reading the chat.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'll see you on the return engagement.
Sounds good, Mama.
I got something for you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
One love, one love, one mic.
One love. All right. Thank you. And that was Mama Ladeji calling from Cleveland. Ohio. Man. Good work. Good stuff. All right. We got one more caller in this segment, JT. One more caller, and then we unveiled the clues. You don't have to do it. It's okay. I wasn't going to do it. Wasn't going to spring it on you, man. Unless you really want to do it.
I'm okay.
I wasn't going to be like, bassoon solo! You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which he's famous for, apparently.
You know, that's true. Weird Al is famous for calling out the bassoon players. Okay, let's go to George in Michigan. Hello, George, you there? George, it sounds like we're already having that Skype issue.
Oh, my goodness.
Doesn't it? So, George, yeah. If you can hear us, we can't hear you, so hang up. Call us right back. For some reason, we're already having that on caller number 5, which is kind of disturbing.
Yep.
Yep, that was us.
Oh, man.
Caller number 5, huh? She's reining us in.
I don't know.
The night is dark and full of terrors, JT.
Yes.
We need to do some tech work here.
Oh,
hey, George. We can hear you now.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I am here. Hey, I'm just going to find. It's another beautiful day in the great state of Michigan.
That's nice of you
hot
to laugh
and humid,
at that,
huh?
JT. Yeah, that's hilarious. Oh, my goodness.
Actually, it's been pretty. It's been really nice. It's low 80s and low humidity.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, that's a rare thing, you know. It's usually that's what usually is Denver weather, you know. But
yeah,
So things are good.
Good. Happy to hear that. Very much.
What I brought tonight is one I actually read way back about 2 years ago. It's called Jefferson and Adams from the Grave. All about the graveyard dark or faded flags and memories. The dark winds spurred the fog of time, and strangeness came that doomful night. Distant drums, the syncopated toll of fear and scorch, the songs of hate, the bloods of war, reptilian struggles against the poor, the cries for freedom, the gush of fear, the rolling steps of tyranny, the death song of morality, the bleeding out of hope and soul. A shattered grave stood there named Dignity, another red Democracy. A charred and leaning stone named Charity, a monument for truth and love. There in the den stood a ragged group. Their signs said freedom, they held them high, but were soon disemboweled by a uniformed troop. The barrage of cannon lit the sky, rotting out the stars of hope. The heart of peace lay dying there, its flag was shred, its streamers torn. And there amidst the seething soil lay the carcass of the Republic. And in this carnage of beastly times did Tom and John rise from their graves, tore off their shrouds, perused the jarring scene, and peered about with shocked chagrin. And in this confluence of dread, before them stood a child with the doll. Her eyes were wide, her sweater torn. She stood in mud and asked of them, "Dear Tom and John, what hopes you have? Your tower of freedom has fallen bad. You built our castle and now it's burned. How can you help me find some hope? I don't need much. Just make me safe. Something to eat, something to hold." The founders peered at each other, gathered their wits and raised their eyes. Said John, "There is but one chance, my child, to gather up and gain some ground." "Indeed there is," said Tom. "The chance is dim, the mountain's tall with precipice. We'll hold your hand, dear sanguine child. Don't drop the doll. It is our torch. The doll of freedom is our best wager, and we'll use it as our book of strength. We'll march it down the streets of hope. We'll dress it with enlightenment. And in the slimmest chance of good, the doll will find a million hands. And John and I and you and your strength will proudly walk the gauntlets. We'll have to find the corrupted ones and strip them of their hubris. We'll need to squelch self-interest and greed, rebuild the roads of democracy. So take our hand, dear child of trust, and hold your doll up high. So down the way strode the four of them beneath a strange embodied glow. Soon followed ragtag youngsters, then greater folks of promise. And if they prevailed, we do not know. The story still unfolds. They may have perished, may have won. The outcome lies with us. We must bring candles, food, and light, and restitched flags of freedom. We'll be the minstrels to the city, harbingers of liberty, singers of songs. We must clear off the road for Tom and John, the girl and her precious doll. And do not sing to me the dirge of fatal cynicism. There is a way we have to pay. The cost may be in blood and a peace.
That was a meaningful piece there, George.
Not exactly a happy one, huh?
Oh man, you know, it's funny. It's like I just wish we didn't have to even think about this stuff. But that's you know, you and I know each other's thoughts on this, I think, pretty well.
Mm-hmm, right.
And man, mm-hmm. It's I was telling JT the other day, I used to say years ago that I thought we lived in pretty boring times. Well, we don't.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we don't.
And I kind of wish it was. Far, I kind of wish we right could now go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. Smiling Ike, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. But, right. I mean,
you know, yeah. You know, worrying about what the weather was going to be and then actually not being haunted by reality in the political world and, yeah, and in the social world. It's, you know, it's funny. It has changed.
Yeah,
and you know, your show proves it. There's a lot of people. Barbara is one of them, and many others that write really good things about the dark side of what we're living through, and we can't really ignore it. But
no,
you know, believe it or not, I'm an optimist. No,
good. JT needs some glasses. No, okay, bad joke. No, that's a.
Pardon?
I said, good, JT needs some glasses. No, I think...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a three glasses.
No, but, no, you know, and as are JT and I mean, we're definitely, we're optimists. At the same time, we look at this just saying, man, this is just so not how we would plan things. This is not the hire we would have made for the position that we were hiring for. Let me put it that way.
Absolutely. I didn't think this could happen.
Yeah.
You know, I thought there were safeguards and checks, and I could just stay on the poet, but I didn't think it could happen. I thought the Enlightenment had brought us through, and apparently it hasn't. So
yeah.
Now we got to work harder.
Yep.
That's true.
We can't just talk. We got to go act.
That's right.
That's all I do is talk and write.
It's kind of funny. You're like, I'm going to take action. I'm going to sit down and write.
I'll show them.
I know. See what I do that. I do it, George.
I'll write to my 41 friends on Facebook what I think. No, I got more than that. But, yeah, that'll change the world for sure.
Yeah. I totally understand where you're going with it. I totally get that.
Yeah. But, okay. Well, I'm glad to read and, I will step aside and wait for the return engagement.
All right. Sounds great, sir. We'll talk to you then.
Take care.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
And that was George calling from Michigan, rounding out the first segment here.
Of callers.
We have a few things we've got to clear up here.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes, we do. Yes.
All right. I'm going to now unveil the first three clues of this month, which is August 2019, Poet of the Month. It is not Gladys Knight. I'm just laying that out here. Despite what any rumors are, the poet of the month is not Gladys Knight.
Got it.
Just clearing that up.
Okay.
Okay. Here is the first clue for this month's poet of the month. Number one, trust withered in childhood, infidelity in the open. Number two, separation from the mundane to the fantastic, even in Vienna. And number three, there's mead within the lines of books. Now, those are kind of hard, and I put them there on purpose. Next week will be a little bit easier, but not that much easier. It's an awesome poet of the month, by the way. And I'm really looking forward to us figuring out and actually reading through their work a little bit later. But those are your first three clues for this month's poet of the month. And by the way, if you guess who the poet of the month is, if you're like George or you're like Dennis, who did it most of the time, if you end up getting it, what you get to do is you get to choose a song for me to sing on that following month's Studio X. So George has selected a song again for this next month's Poet of the Month, and I'll be singing that next week along with a few others as well.
Oh, and if you do know it, don't post it in the chat room.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Don't post it up on Facebook.
Send it to us.
Send it to us in an email.
Yeah.
At worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com.
That's right. And then we'll tell you yes or no. Or you can send me a, you know, if you're with me on social media or something, send me a message. I'll happily, you know, respond that way too. All right. So it is time for us now to go into another segment. Let's see how many callers we get. I don't know. Yeah. It's a light night. You know, some of us were a little bit late because we were eating cake.
That's all right. Cake is good.
I got to be honest. I tried eating cake and listening to the show once before.
Yeah.
I fell on the floor. It was just so hard.
The wow.
I'm totally kidding. Barbara, we're just messing with you. All right, we're going to do the second. We're going to do the second call in the segment. We need five more unique callers. Number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
And Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Christine.
Yes, Michael.
You know what you get when you throw four chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poultry Open Mic.
Mm, that's nice.
And welcome back to the show where we are loved by Lycra and fooled by Velcro. We're here on the second segment. Did you like that one?
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, see that? All right. We're here in the second segment. We only have one caller, but we got a few other orders of business to take care of. So this is a good thing. So first thing, I just want everyone to get relaxed. Everybody just kind of take a load off for a second. I'm going to tell you a short story. Here we go. Somewhere, there's a cool breeze blowing. It travels up treacherous mountain passes, past camps of bandits, past weary travelers, past the monastery, and the oddly placed bakery. There are no customers up here. Why are they here? But if you ask them, they will tell you. We're here to serve him and him alone. For he is the haiku master.
Oh, he's a haiku master.
My proudest achievement of music of all time. It doesn't matter what I do from here on out. That's my favorite thing ever. It's also the dumbest thing ever.
It's incredible. It is incredible.
Because I, for some reason, was harboring the illusion that you were Scottish, which we don't think is
even a thing. Yeah.
I don't know where I came up with that. But then the joke was obviously that haiku is not Chinese.
Right.
So that was the joke.
Uh-huh.
But because of the Scottish thing, it's just so wrong. It just doesn't even matter.
You know what's funny, though, is pretty much you're one country off, if you think about it.
In both places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In both places, you're one country off.
It's just 10%, man. Just 10%. Okay, so you've got So the haiku master, Mr. JT, has written, what, three?
Three
haikus. And so he is going to share these. He is the haiku master. His book is available, of course, on Amazon as well. And it's fantastic. But what's it called again? It's the haiku master. I'll look up the title because it's the whole title itself is a haiku, which is fantastic.
Yes.
But in the meantime, I'm going to step back and let you, the haiku master, share your work.
Well, thank you. Number one, the system fights back. The updates at the wrong time. Revert to the old.
Wonder what that's about.
Have no idea.
Yeah.
You'll probably guess the next two, too.
All right.
Taken for granted, grids that connect the metro. Electricity.
Good one. Good one.
And the third one. Need to bag it up. Feeling around in the dark. Equipment teardown.
You know, that describes a lot of my romantic life.
I knew it.
Great job, sir. By the way, this is the title of your book. And honestly, I didn't even see this. You have an awesome customer review.
Awesome.
From a gentleman who's on the show right now, but who read your book and,
yes.
And loved it. But it was called this, The Haiku Master, A Collection from the Master Himself. Enjoy.
Yes.
Fantastic book title. Volume 1. We're working on Volume 2. But the reason he has this book, the reason we stop and have him read this amazing work is because he is none other than the Haiku Master.
Oh, boy, he's a Haiku Master.
Okay, and now we are going to be going to our caller. This is exciting. Remember, this is my first time we were on the show, except she's not in the lobby. Let's go now to Barbara in Connecticut.
If I can resume
If you can
call.
Resume the call.
Here we go.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm the only caller, so it's kind of cool. Yeah.
You know, I like it when I'm in a room by myself.
Well, sometimes.
I'm kidding.
You have to be your own audience, and, you know, it's kind of hard. But
I am my best
I'm
own
good.
Audience.
My eyes are almost healed.
Good.
They look like eyelids again and not like Frankenstein monsters. So, yeah. And I had my birthday. It was very nice. We didn't do much because it was in the middle of the week, but, you know, we had, like, takeout food, and then my wonderful cake. I got an Apple TV from my daughters, which is really nice. So
That's very sweet of them.
Yeah,
happy late birthday.
Thank you. And I'm just going to have amnesia about how old I am.
Okay.
Because age is all what you feel, not, you know, what you are. It's, you know, it's a number, but it's only a number. And on that note, I'm going to read you the poem that I just wrote today, which was inspired by many different things. But anyway, it's called Giving Up to Hope. No one can predict from moment to moment how our day might be. We can hope for the technicolor dream we imagined as we prepared to venture out, but many times it turns into a B-movie with sad black and white scenes we can only blot away with tears. It's uncertain each day as we attempt to navigate the everyday of our lives, and sometimes the outcome doesn't match our expectation, and we must adjust or the disaster becomes a minefield. On days like those, it is up to us to find within ourselves that spark of hope and to blow on it to ignite a larger fire of faith, for that will sustain us as we try to live through them. It is not easy, and sometimes we give up because it is so difficult to keep going when it seems like nothing is going right. But we must persist, and in that persistence, we will find our strength. This strength will sustain us as we combat the forces that try to pull us down. We can rise and we can move forward if only we listen to the voices telling us to push on and never, ever give up, to ignore the negative and embrace the positive, and to look beyond our own lives to the hope that is in the distance and will always be our touchstone. End poem.
Very nicely done.
Yeah, I had some pretty sad news this week. I found out that my niece, who is now living in London, has Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And, you know, she's starting chemo, and she's in great spirits, and I haven't spoken with her, but I've heard about her, and that made me sad. And then another little sad thing happened. My daughter was on the highway, and she got a brand new car last week. I mean, it's only like maybe it's really like only 5 days, 6 days old. And she got a crack on her windshield.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So we just found out, looking it up, my other daughter, who's the researcher, looked it up and found out that Outbacks, which my daughter just got, had this problem in some of their vehicles with the windshield getting cracked. And they actually had a class action suit. So we told her to go back to the dealer and get, she doesn't know she has the warranty on the glass. So we told her to go back to the dealer and see if she can get the warranty on the glass and remind them they have a class action suit, which they lost.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Anyway, so all of this just conspired to send me to writing. You know, when that happens, I just, you know, have to write. So anyway, I'll be back for the return engagement, and I missed a lot of the show, but like I said, I was eating my birthday cake and sadly watching Veronica Mars to the finale, which I don't know if you watch Veronica Mars, but...
No.
Obviously not, because we're doing the show.
No. Oh, right, right. But, you know, you could have, like, DVR'd or whatever.
We try to Devo it, but that red hat and those glasses really are falling out of style.
Devo.
Just whipping things and nothing's working.
I meant, never mind.
All right, Barbara, thank you very much. We'll talk to you during the return,
you're
okay?
Welcome.
All right.
I'm getting off the phone, and now you can have your return engagement.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right.
Good night. I'll talk to you on the return. Bye.
Sounds good. Bye. Did you think Barbara knows that we're not different people on the return engagement?
I don't know.
Because she just said good night.
Well, yeah. Must be different. We're definitely different. No, I'm kidding.
It's the radio equivalent of peekaboo, the moment you close your eyes and you
nobody's there.
Then you open it. Who are you? Totally different person this time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. By the way, I don't recognize anybody when they call in again. I'm just making stuff up. You know, I actually heard there's a real condition that exists, and I can't remember the name of it, but where you forget someone's face the moment they leave the room. And it's a very real thing. Or the moment you're not looking at them, and when you look back, you don't remember who that person is.
It's object permanence.
There's a specific name for it. It's a real condition.
Yeah.
And I find that really fascinating, because it'd be like, I'd be sitting in the room, look back and be like, who are you? Who are you? Every single time. I mean, I wouldn't be doing it like that, and obviously,
right,
with coping strategies, but it's that would just be a really interesting not interesting in a good way, just a strange experience to have. On that happy note, hey, you know what we need to talk about?
Yes.
Our poetic form of the month. Oh, yeah. Poetic forms of the month.
Okay. Got a little excited on that one.
Yeah, you got to let me say of the month.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen, for me to unveil the new poetic form. It is a lay. L-A-I. The lay is a French form. It's a nine-line poem or stanza that uses an A and a B rhyme following this pattern. A-A, B-A-A, B-A-A, B. Easy to remember. You just think this. A-ba-ba. The lines with an A rhyme using five syllables and the B rhyme lines have two syllables. That is actually from our website. So, Dennis, to answer your question about the Poet of the Month, if you go to our website and you click on Poet of the Month, those clues are already up there. And then also, if you go down to the page that says Poetic Form of the Month, all that info is there, and you can actually click a link to learn more. But that is our Poetic Form of August 2019, the lay. There you go.
Interesting. Ah, bah, bah, bah.
Yeah, it's ah, bah, bah. That's ah, bah, bah.
Okay.
Yeah. A-A, B-A-A, B-A-A, B.
Got it. Okay.
Got it? It makes sense now.
It makes total sense. I'm all for it.
You speak sheep, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every night, I got to tell them to jump over my bed.
When I figured, that's really ridiculous. I read what this actually meant in the translation. I thought maybe we should do this during After Dark, but I figured not a lot of people speak that language.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to the return engagement. Anybody who wants to call in, you can. Anybody who wants to call back in and read a piece, you can. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back. Okay, let me try that again. And we're back. I didn't get the "and" part. I was
gotcha. That. Okay, I was like, wait, what did we miss?
Yeah, we had a leg. All right, so we are back here in the return engagement. And, yeah, I got five callers lined up. Figure we should just get right into it. What do you think?
Yeah.
You ready?
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan to kick it off. Hey, Dennis, welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Well, this is always a good thing. This is always a good thing. We're happy we're here. We're happy you're here. It's just all positive.
One big happy family, I tell you, buddy.
That's right.
That's the way it should be.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's been a good show, but what do you have to kick us off for this segment?
All right, I'm going to read one of my own poems. The title is Tapestry. Tapestry on castle wall. Once bright colors, now are dull. Faded by the sun of days and covered with a smoky haze. Sturdy weave, slightly tattered. Residual beauty is what mattered. The scene displays some faded glory. Was it a dream or a real-life story? It has endured so many years. Its end is coming, viewer fears. Will it be spared, fully restored, or fall from grace and be ignored? End of poem.
Very well done. I how long has it been since you shared one of yours? A little while, hasn't it?
What's that?
How long has it been since you shared a piece of yours? It's been a little while, hasn't it?
No, I mix it up.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay, you do mix it up. I was sitting there thinking, I remember you always have these awesome covers, but I was really happy to hear you reading this one too, and I was like, I maybe they're all bleeding into, you know, the days are all bleeding into one. So I have memories of you reading your own and covers, and I'm like, I don't remember what's going on. But I really did enjoy that one, Dennis, and it was great to hear it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate sharing it, and I will continue to mix it up. I won't read all covers, but I need to get busy writing fresh stuff too. So I need to stay on top of that, and I appreciate your encouragement.
We love whatever you bring, Dennis. Seriously, and you know, either way, it's always a joy to hear you read.
I've learned a lot since I first started calling in. I was really green when the second week when I called in, and
yeah.
I've learned a lot along the way, and I really appreciate your help along the way. It's really improved my game, so thank you so very much.
We're happy to have helped in any way, and thank you for everything you bring back to us.
Well, I try, but I'm going to try to bring back some more readers next week. I'm going to get on the phone and on the line, and I'm going to send out extra invitations so
we can
have more voices shared. So I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
And God bless, Dennis.
God
thank
bless.
You for everything you do.
And that was Dennis leading us off here, calling from Michigan. Good stuff. All right.
If I could just type, I'd be okay. Yeah, it's part of my
That's
job.
How I feel in the morning. Get up, I'm like, all right, I got to write 2,000 words in it. It's like, great, if I didn't have hot dogs for fingers.
Like, well, Edward, you I'm know, like, honestly, you
Edward
should probably
Scissorhands
take
just
off.
Far more American.
Exactly. Oh, man. Okay.
Hey, let's go to Michigan again. Wait, let's just stay in Michigan.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah.
Just stay. There. Let's not travel extra. Let's go visit George. Hey, George. Welcome
hello,
back.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Welcome back.
Yeah, a long time no hear or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You're staying in Michigan is sort of dangerous, you know. If you looked around, make sure your car's still here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I haven't actually. That's kind of a really think about that.
No. Anyway, okay. Yeah. What I've got for the return engagement is one called Love and Little Lies. Let me turn off the light. Okay. Love and Little Lies. Clad only in lust, they came to the mattress. Long memories of touching, no need for preface. Sometimes it gone well, some bittersweet too. At times it was hunger. Sometimes love took them through. At first they watched each other, and now they looked away. Passion didn't need love, 'twas better that way. You passed through some doldrums when love was pretending, and neither one knew what would be their ending. Then, burdened with duty, he again said, I love you. Neither one had the courage to say something here. End of peace.
I really liked that. JT, what did you think of that? I know you were listening. I
enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
really good piece.
Pardon?
We were just kind of reflecting on it for a second. No, really did enjoy that one very much.
Why, thank you.
Yeah.
Just a little days have passed.
Yeah, but it's funny how much they I don't know. It's funny. It's like some days you can hear the same thing and it just takes it hits you in a different way. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's almost like the quality of a poem sometimes is very transitory.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you can write it and then read it and it comes out different than you wrote it. I mean, in your brain.
Yeah.
And then sometimes what you write looks like crap. And then when you read it, it feels good. It's just a lot of things that can happen.
True. Or sometimes you misspell something on every slide on your crap. Show. No. Well, you know, George, it's I really quickly about the slides of the show. I actually do appreciate that because I think I had an hour to get all of those done, which is a lot. And you know what? What I'm saying is I appreciate you bringing that up because I don't take an offense to that at all. There's in no way. It's more me looking at it going, I can't believe I missed that. I can't believe JT missed that. I can't believe we missed that last month. It's a process, George, and I appreciate your help with that.
Hey, I sound like a nagging mother-in-law or something when I write
not
that
at
stuff
all.
Because
not
I'm
at
not,
all.
I don't, I'm not without sin myself grammatically or spelling.
Oh,
you know,
none of us
I
are.
Was, yeah. But I looked at hundreds or whatever, maybe thousands of college papers, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
of course.
I sort of, my eye sort of picked. When you do that, you sort of become a sort of a drudge, but your eye does pick up almost any little thing you can put your red ink pen around, you know.
Well, and George, I'll tell you, if I'm looking at someone else's writing or my writing from a while back, I start picking every single thing out too. It's just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going, and man, I can't believe the amount of. Anyway, there wasn't any spell check in that program. That's a problem. So
that's okay. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna, you know, I certainly don't want to make it sound like this is a deal. This is sort of like dilly. It's not a thing.
It won't be a thing after this week. It's gonna be all fixed tomorrow morning.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks, and I'm going to slide over and let the next person in.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate everything, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Bye. All right. Now we're going to head to somewhere special, JT. You know where that place is?
No. Where?
Really? Your mouse is right on it. Like,
really?
You know,
oh.
Like, you know where we're going, man.
Oh,
okay, let's go.
I'm going to O.
Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio to visit with Mama. Hello, Mama. Welcome back.
No, where? Really? Mouse is right on.
We're dead in Ohio.
Hello, Mama.
Hey. Okay. You all know I'm getting old, so you know what happens when you get old. You get paranoid because you don't know, you know. Well, my thing is, I'm getting paranoid. I'm walking past mirrors like you don't even know who the person is, stuff like that. So I'm tripping. So the name of this piece is called Smiling at Death. Staying beautiful or die trying. Coming to grips with myself. I do not believe it or feel happy about it. I accept it only because death is a certain surety. Leaves us little choice. If a painful illness or death be my only other alternative, somehow, maybe it seems, considering now the world, although it's already too late. I've been old for a while. Yet time is bold. Robbed our youth and we grow old. I would have rather died cute and painlessly. I think. Yeah, I'd rather die cute, with green-filled eyes and an angelic smile, in peace.
There's a lot of depth to that, and I find myself thinking about this a lot, too. I find myself really in a place where I become very cognizant of the idea that at whatever time it's coming, could be now, it could be many years from now, that death is coming and that I'm determined to meet it well. But I don't even know what that means. And who knows if you will or not, you know what I mean? It's just, but I find myself thinking about it, not in a negative, depressive way, not anything like that, but just recognizing that it's there. And so that piece spoke to me a lot because I feel it. You know?
Yeah, I just wanted to die cute with a smile on my face.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, it's kind of the same thing It's kind of the same thing as you'd hear, you know, different warrior cultures across the world. You know, it was dying honorably in the struggle that mattered. Right. You know,
the struggle to be beautiful and remain beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and even when the Egyptians used to embalm, I mean, you know, like people didn't live as long. I mean, living long is not always cut out to be.
No, you know what? You're right. Like, I'm turning 39 next month. Actually, a month from today, I'm turning 39 years old. Now I know that that's not, you know, I know for a lot of people, because I have enough people tell me I'm a baby, and I appreciate that because that means I've got time to do stuff. However, I'm starting to also get the glimpse where I can look down at people in their 20s and stuff who are taking everything so damn seriously and go, calm down, like, relax. And I can start also feeling some of that weariness every now and then start to set in where I'm like, oh man, I got to deal with this again, you know? And, I don't know. I can feel that it gets more intense later. I don't know.
Well, we know this body is not going with this, but while I'm here, I don't want to be looking like a Cyclops.
So. Yeah, I get that. I'm just going to do what JT does. I'm going to practice 23 jump spinning crescent kicks every morning. Each leg.
Okay. Yeah, do the best we can. But, we can't take it with us. I mean, they say that about material things, but we can't take our looks with us either. So I guess when I get my heavenly body, I will still have that smile on my face and that angelic gleam in my eye. So,
oh, yeah.
Y'all can still recognize me.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Thank you for getting me all the time.
We love you too.
It means so much just for somebody to get you, to get you. I don't know. I'm going through a real phase here, you know. When that's the only thing you had to hold on to was your youth and your beauty, and now, you know, it's all gone.
We're with you. We're with you, you know. We really are.
Thank you. God bless. I loved everybody's pieces tonight. I'm not able to participate in a chat room because, once again, old age has robbed me of nearly of my password. So it's like every week I'm like, I get in and get excited. I write it down, don't know where I put it, and here we go again. But I'm looking at the chat room. I want to thank everybody.
You're too good with your password security. you don't even know it. It's amazing.
Look underneath your keyboard for the post-it.
Yeah. Understand, though, Mama.
Okay,
understand.
Guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Best of the program. Thank you for letting me share.
Of course.
Bye. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Number 3 here in the return engagement. Now we're going to travel back up to upstate New York to visit with Zach. Hello, Zach. Welcome back.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Yeah, Rex Carmen and Rex Musicorium. Apparently, those are the Latin words for poem and music. So, you know, obviously, you guys can decide which one is. The king of music, and which is the king of poems.
Well, I vote for Elvis for the king of music. Also, worst taste in a sandwich of all time. There's a sandwich that there's a place here in Denver that Elvis actually sent a plane to pick up a bunch of these peanut butter and banana, I think they are, sandwiches, and bacon. Oh, it sounds, JT, it sounds good. I had it. I went to this place, I ate it.
Oh.
You know what? That was the first time I realized Elvis was nuts, because it was a completely unremarkable sandwich. You could have made that at home.
Yeah.
Why do you send a plane for that?
Because he could.
Okay, there you go. Good point. Okay. How can I argue with that?
That's why he gave me Cadillac.
That's right. I'm like, because he could.
Okay, never mind then.
Hey, Zach, what do you got for us?
I feel like I've been giving you guys some really dark poems lately, so I thought I'd try an inspiring poem that I wrote called Keep Writing. Keep writing about you. Keep writing for me. Keep writing about the future you want to see. Keep writing about your love. Keep writing about your pain. Keep writing about your dream of kissing someone in the rain. Keep writing when you feel blue. Keep writing when you feel high. Keep writing about the name you'd give your own personal star in the sky. Keep writing about the fun. Keep writing about the night you had one too many beers. Keep writing to pass your wisdom on through the years. End of poem.
That is a sweet, inspirational one there.
You know, I think it's just, you know, with all the doubts and everything, you know, is there really a point in writing? And, you know, I think sometimes we lose sight of that, and that it's important to know that we should keep writing for, you know, keep writing to pass wisdom on, keep writing to have an escape, you know, keep writing to have something to do.
And let's not forget, let's keep writing because it's awesome. That's the other side.
Keep writing because it's awesome.
Because it's
I can do that.
You know what? Honestly, like, I don't think enough of us really consider that it just doing something because it's awesome is a really good reason to do something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all have our things that we love, and you know, sometimes we think that we have to have a reason to love it, and you know, really, we just
I think it's,
do it because it's awesome.
Yeah, because we love it. I mean, do you think about it? If someone goes, why do you write poetry? Why do you waste your time with that? Is a great way people ask that, right? And the best response is, look at me like, because it's awesome. Next question. Like, what are they going to say? Okay. Like, well, you're stupid. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter, you know? So that's how I see it anyway. And that's how I answer most things, including the things that don't make any sense. Why'd you do that? Because it's awesome. Anyway,
why'd you host the show? Because it's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Why'd you rob this bank, Michael? Because it's... Never mind.
No,
I can't believe I just admitted to that on air. Okay.
No, yeah, you're not. Right. Statue of limitations, man. Statue of limitations.
Man, that statue is so powerful. Hopefully it never wakes up.
I love saying it wrong.
Zach, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And thank you for the piece.
All right. I will see you guys later.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Yep. Yeah, bye.
Bye. And that was Zach calling from New York. All right. Now we're going to head to the seat of democracy. Keep humming that. It was really good. A place where men are men and women are women, but can also do all the things men can do too. A place known not for their Mexican food, not really for their Asian cuisine either, but I'm sure they're getting along very well. They're known primarily by the name Connecticut.
Hello.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm in the place where people are getting along with each other. I think that's what I heard.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm going to. Yeah, it's a strange place where people get along with each other. It's called Connecticut. Okay, I'm going to read from my book. Anybody who has my book is called "You'll Probably Forget Me: Living With and Without Hell." And it's on page 42, All the Goodbyes. Once I thought memories remained in the walls, so when we left, our inner selves stayed in the places where we had lived. Old scratch photos of younger selves
thinner and full of energy, and the days of sunshine when we frolicked in a tree-shaded glen where the clear water skipped over stones, and we walked barefoot in a cool stream as we hurried to find a place where all of us could lay down our blankets and bask in the sunshine. And I remember early mornings when we bicycled to the park nearby, our tennis rackets tied to our bikes, and we volleyed back and forth. When you and I weren't hunting for poorly hit balls, your hair and beard still dark and curly, and mine pulled tight against my head to keep it smooth. That crazy apartment in Buffalo, we painted in primary colors, and the parties we had with everyone squeezing into the walk-up two-bedroom apartment while Lady Balzac sat eagerly, her enormous form blocking the food as we shielded it from her sweet pink tongue. And she eventually took her hefty Newfoundland self off to a cool space while I served my latest creation to so many guests I lost count. But we didn't care, for we were high on wine and pot, and young, so young, I never believed we would ever leave, and these precious moments would be sewn into the walls as we age somewhere else, far away from these golden moments. End poem.
Very nicely done.
Thank you. Sometimes in the summer, I think of that place. Buffalo in the summer is so awesome.
Sure.
Have you ever been to Buffalo in the summer?
No, but I've been chased by a buffalo in the summer.
No, not the same.
I assumed it wasn't the same. I assumed that being in Buffalo is not like being pursued by a 400-pound hairy animal intent on your destruction.
Not the same.
Good, because I would hate to know what that was like.
Yeah, but don't you ever feel that way when you leave places that somehow part of you just stays there? Mm-hmm.
It's called my DNA. It just kind of stays because I touch things, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know. But I mean, like, your memories, and it's just like
of course,
a
yeah.
part of me will always be in that apartment. You know,
sure,
a part of me will always be in the places where we lived. And, you know, just really, Buffalo in the summer is really different. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. And places around it are really cool because they have streams, you know, in the suburbs. And, you know, it was, like, just really cool to be there, especially I was young. Young was the good thing. Young was the best thing. Because when you're young, you know, you can lay on the grass and just be, you know, laying on the grass for me is hard now because of my knees and everything. But just being there was really cool. So I thought I'd read that poem because it reminded me of summer.
That is very cool. Thank you, Barbara.
So anyway, have a great week, and hopefully this will be a better week for us.
Hopefully
and,
so.
Hopefully. And I'm going to still keep celebrating because it's still my birthday week. And I heard something really cool, that if you're a Leo, that this is the time for you. You know, like things are coming up for Leos.
Well, cool.
Because of the new moon in Leo. You heard about that.
Oh, well, you know, not really, but actually that makes a lot of sense, yeah. And don't Leos thrive on their birthday?
We do. We thrive in the summer. This is my season.
All right.
You know.
Everybody get out of the way.
Yep. All right. Okay, Michael, have a good rest of the show. I don't know how many people are still on.
6,000. No.
6,000. Well, I'm taking up time, so I'm going to get off the phone and just tell JT that his haiku poetry on technology was awesome.
He is really awesome. Huh? Well, he can hear you, you know.
He's right here.
Your haiku poetry on technology was awesome. I loved it. Okay.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Talk to you next week. Okay. Bye, guys.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you, Barbara. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, rounding out our return engagement. The other 6,000 people are just going to have to sit back down because I don't even care what you have to say.
That's right.
That's
just
right.
Hold your horses.
Now, I don't know if anybody's going to have anything for it, and it's okay if they don't, but what we're going to do here is we're going to end this show proper. Then we're going to go, and we're going to do one segment of After Dark, and we'll see how many callers we get. It's just we do it return engagement style. It's just one segment. But before we get to that, we're going to end the show properly. So, everybody, thank you so much for joining the show. It's been a light night. No big deal. This happens during the summer. We expect that, especially after kind of the time delays and the weirdness we've had over the last few weeks. It just kind of flows like that. No big deal. But we'll be back next week on time. It'll be fantastic. And we look forward to talking to you then. So, from myself, from JT, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, thank you. Until next time, keep on writing. Good night.